Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Shyam Sundara Radha Shyam Sundara Radhe. Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada.
Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Asto Tari Satta Sri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we're reading this morning from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 20, text 5. Chapter 20, entitled Conversation Between Maitreya and Vidura.
Tayo samvadato suta. Tayo samvadato suta. Pravritta yamalakata. Pravritta yamalakata. Apo Ganga Iva Ghagnir. Apo Ganga Iva Ghagnir. Hare Padam Bhujashraya. Hare Padam Bhujashraya.
Please chant.
Tayo samvadato suta. Pravritta yamalakata. Apo ganga iva ghagnir. Hare padam bhujashraya. Tayo samvadato suta. Pravritta yamalakata. Apo ganga iva ghagnir. Hare padam bhujashraya. Tayo samvadato suta. Pravritta yamalakata. Apo ganga iva ghagnir. Hare padam bhujashraya.
Tayo. While the two, Maitreya and Vidura,
sangvadato,
were conversing,
sutta,
O Sutta,
Pravritta
arose.
He
certainly,
Amala
spotless,
Kata
narrations,
Apaha
waters,
Ganga
of the river Ganges,
Iva
like.
Aghagni,
vanquishing all sins.
Hare,
of the Lord.
Pada Ambuja,
the lotus feet.
Ashraya,
taking shelter.
Translation.
Shonaka inquired about the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya. There must have been many narrations of the spotless pastimes of the Lord. The hearing of such narrations is exactly like bathing in the water of the Ganges, for it can free one from all sinful reactions. Please repeat.
Sonika inquired about the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya. There must have been many narrations of the spotless pastimes of the Lord. The hearing of such narrations is exactly like bathing in the water of the Ganges, for it can free one from all sinful reactions. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. The water of the Ganges is purified because it pours forth from the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita is as good as the water of the Ganges because it is spoken from the mouth of the Supreme Lord. So it is with any topic on the pastimes of the Lord or the characteristics of His transcendental activities, or rather, so it is with any topic on the pastimes of the Lord or the characteristics of His transcendental activities. The Lord is absolute. There is no difference between His words, His perspiration, or His pastimes. The water of the Ganges, the narrations of His pastimes, and the words spoken by Him are all on the absolute platform. And thus, taking shelter of any one of them is equally good. Srila Rupa Goswami has enunciated that anything in relationship with Krishna is on the transcendental platform. If we can dovetail all our activities in relationship with Krishna, then we do not stand on the material platform, but always on the spiritual platform. Om Jnana Timrandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchatya Deshatarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this particular verse is now in the beginning portion of this 20th chapter, which is kind of starting a new section. We were hearing about the pastime of Hiranyaksha being slain by the Lord in His incredible incarnation of Varahadev. And now Shonaka is inquiring about this conversation between Vidura and Maitreya. And he says, there must have been many narrations of the spotless pastimes. So it is another example of this theme throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam of the perfect inquirer, Shrinaka Rishi, being the qualified person to ask the right questions. Somebody who has this quality of being God-conscious completely, he's always interested in narrations about the Lord. And he's showing this example. Because in one sense, you could argue that you can talk about many things. We know from our own experience that we talk about so many things. And the desire to hear about the Lord, that is what's being displayed throughout the Bhagavatam, particularly, of course, in the primary conversation of Parikshit Maharaj. And so this is the first thing that came to my mind, is that we now get to relish the Srimad Bhagavatam because of these inquiries between these advanced souls. And we are following in their footsteps by then having our own discussion on the same subject matter by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. So the ideal Vaishnava means one who also inquires in the most ideal way. I have a friend, maybe you know, Jai Jagannath Prabhu, really wonderful devotee. And he has this phrase that he likes to say, that the evolution of inquiry precedes the evolution of being. Means that you will evolve as you inquire about higher and higher or deeper subject matters. One kind of person, his inquiry is, how do I become comfortable in the material world? It's an obsession. This is my only concern. Another person is, how can I accumulate as much as I can, right? How can, we can see now in our current political climate, in our current world where, you know, the world is ruled by billionaires and trillionaires, right? How can I accumulate? How can I take advantage of this world and get as much as I can? So that's one level of inquiry. So as one inquires deeper, what am I? Who am I? What is my place in this world? Then one's consciousness begins to evolve. I always liked that. I always remembered that because it's a nice little sutra, especially when it's very easy to be distracted. You can see, like we were hearing this morning, there are so many difficult things in our life in this world. It's day to day. It never ends. And if our only interest is how do I solve my current day-to-day, then our consciousness is limited only by that. So this is the idea here that I'm noticing and appreciating. That he says, oh, I want to know about that conversation because there must have been many narrations about the Lord. And then he qualifies that inquiry by saying, the hearing of such narrations is exactly like bathing in the water of the Ganges, for it can free one from all sinful reactions. This is very encouraging and enlivening, because the pastimes of the Lord are always accessible. They're always there for us, especially Srila Prabhupada's books and the devotees, our ISKCON community, because it's very easy to be overwhelmed by the difficult nature of this world. And I know that sometimes days, weeks, months, years can go by where we forget because we are absorbed in our life in this world, that those pastimes are the soothing balm to our existence. And Prabhupada then elaborates on why that is the case. Oh, and also I wanted to highlight as well that this is also the quality of a person like Vidura, that a Vaishnava like Vidura who's always speaking about the Lord, just by thinking of him, you think, oh, he must be speaking about Krishna. When we think of Srila Prabhupada, we think everything that he said was in relation to Krishna. And even like I think of, you know, a devotee in our community who you know speaks about Krishna all the time, and you see him talking with another devotee, you think, oh, they must be talking about Krishna. It's very nice to think like that, to be conscious of when we come here and see other Vaishnava, that's why we come to the temple, that's why we associate with devotees, because they remind us of Krishna. And it's a really sweet, it's a very sweet anga of devotional service that's very easy to do, actually. You don't have to do anything physically, you just see and remember. So I thought how wonderful it is that by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we have so many Vaishnavas like that, not only in our community here in Alatra, but throughout the world. And I know coming to the temple and seeing the devotees here is very easy to say, oh, they must be talking about Krishna, because most of the time it's true. So one Vaishnava speaking about Krishna and another Vaishnava saying, I want to hear that conversation because I also want to hear about Krishna. So Prabhupada says, he's explaining, what is the significance of hearing about the Lord? First, by speaking about the water of the Ganges, it's purified. Why? Because it pours forth from the lotus feet of the Lord. This was actually a conversation I had with Prangavinda Prabhu the other day. He was asking, where does the Ganges come from? I didn't know. But it comes from the toe of the Lord, he was explaining. So Prangavinda Prabhu is a devotee who, when you see him, you can tell he's speaking about Krishna. That's my experience. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita is as good as the water of the Ganges. Why? For the same reason. Because it is spoken from the mouth of the Supreme Lord. So it is with any topic on the pastimes of the Lord or the characteristics of his transcendental activities. The touchstone, that every aspect of the Lord is perfectly sweet and absolutely perfect as well, both. So this makes it the most relishable, because the activities of this world are imperfect and temporary, so you can only relish them a little bit before it becomes tasteless. But we're convinced, if I try, maybe this time, maybe this time, maybe this time, and we're eternally frustrated. But we're going to hear more about that, because that experience Prabhupada talks about, our initial reaction is to just reject it. Ah, it's so frustrating. I don't want anything to do with any of this. These are the jnanis and the tyagis. Renunciation. Because it gives me no pleasure, because it has no fulfillment, let me just give it all up. And it makes sense when you're frustrated, right? You make so much endeavor to find happiness in this world. And maybe it, even with the right intention, trying to have a good situation, trying to do your duty in this world in the right way. But the nature of this world is that the fulfillment that comes from that is born only from the material existence, which in itself is inherently temporary. So something that is inherently temporary can't give an eternal result. But the Lord is eternal. His pastimes are non-different from him, so they're also eternal. His qualities are also eternal. Then Prabhupada says, even his perspiration is also absolute. The water of the Ganges, the narrations of his pastimes, and the words spoken by him are all on the absolute platform. And thus taking shelter of any one of them is equally good. So we'll hear more that simply rejecting out of frustration, that's not devotional service. That's not part of our process. Because the frustration ultimately is that my desires were not fulfilled. This is still within the realm of material existence, because it's still on the platform of I and mine. Actually, a Vaishnava, it's not that our goal is to become frustrated necessarily. That is part of it, that we lose faith that the material world is our all, the be-all, the ends-all. But it's not for the same reason as the jnanis and the tyagis. It's different, and actually, it's very different. So we'll hear. Srila Rupa Goswami has enunciated that anything in relationship with Krishna is on the transcendental platform. So this is the key. If we can dovetail all our activities in relationship with Krishna, then we do not stand on the material platform, but always on the spiritual platform. So we are hearing this morning that people in difficult situation, not being able to get food. And for a jnani or a tyagi, they can say, what's the point? This is the material world. Who needs, right? Why should we think about these things? Everyone is suffering. But this is not the mood of the Vaishnavas. Vaishnava means compassion. Why? Because they see that all the living entities are part and parcel of the Lord. Prabhupada would say, I think it's a certain amount of radius, somebody will know, that in all of our temples, no one should go hungry in a certain radius. Everyone should get prasadam. This is our acharya. He's setting the example. So it's not cold. Yes, the material world is full of suffering. So anyway, who cares? That's not our philosophy. Our philosophy is, if someone is hungry, then let's feed them Krishna prasadam, like that. Not just food for the sake of maintaining the body, but Krishna prasad, because then the hunger is mitigated, and also they're eating the prasad that's offered to the Lord. And this was something that Prabhupada did very early on because he could see that this was a very easy way for anybody to come closer to Krishna is by eating prasadam. You know, he had his jar of gulab jamuns famously on 22nd Avenue. And there were so many devotees who said, I kept coming back to that jar. Even if I left, you know, and I was, you know, going through whatever I was going through, you know, at those days in the 60s and 70s, like the drugs and, you know, whatever it was, but I kept coming back to those gulab jamuns. And Prabhupada knew that. He was very, you know, of course, Prabhupada is the most intelligent. But means that Krishna is accessible in so many ways. And Prabhupada is highlighting this being brought out by Rupa Goswami, which, as far as I understand, is a reference to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Nirbanda Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagya Muchyate. This is the most famous instruction in terms of dovetailing or engaging everything in Krishna's service. So Prabhupada is saying, if we can dovetail all our activities in relationship with Krishna. And I was thinking, I've understood that many of us see this in one of two ways. One is, I will dovetail everything that I do in Krishna's service. And the other is, I will do all of those things that can be dovetailed in Krishna's service. Slightly different. For us, I would say, like for myself, kind of growing up in the movement, you know, you heard this Yukta Vairagya like when you were 8, you know. So by the time you're like 15, you start to get like, okay, I'm hearing it all the time. What does it mean? And sometimes it means, you know, you get your Dorito chips and you go, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. Right? It's not quite what it means, right? Because with a little bit more maturity, we start to see that there are things which are favorable and unfavorable for devotional service. And there are things that are unfavorable which cannot be engaged in the Lord's service. That's essentially what that means. So on the path of becoming 100% engaged fully in devotional service, it takes a little bit of introspection as we progress 10 years, 15 years, 20 years in devotional service, you know, being in the movement. Now let's say you take initiation, you have a family, you're all devotees, you live in the community. And it's not just that you're just living, but gradually you think, okay, you just look at my life. I look at my life and I say, what are these things that I'm doing that are favorable? That's the key. Because I can say, oh, I can engage. I bought my chips. I offered it to the Lord. But is it favorable? So in this case, I know this is like a sensitive thing. No, I'm also young. I know. It's the same for me. I'm not telling anybody what they should do. But we're reading from Srila Prabhupada, so we shouldn't be afraid to speak about these things. So in this case, for example, with onion and garlic, right? This is, and all of these kind of processed foods, you know, sometimes you're traveling, sometimes there's nowhere to get something nice to eat. So I know, trust me. But means for the sake of understanding on the deeper matter, what is favorable? We understand that these ingredients, garlic, onion, are known to be very tamasic. So therefore, it's not favorable for a mode of goodness disposition. And mode of goodness disposition is most favorable for devotional service. So we infer like that. Therefore, these things are not favorable for devotional service. So by seeing it in this way, then I think, okay, can I go without Doritos? In this case, yeah. I'm giving an example that's pretty easy. Especially, you know, once you're in your 30s, your body says no anyway. You can't really eat these things. You start to feel sick, right? But what I want to highlight here is that this is something that each devotee should take inventory of for themselves. It's easy for me to be on the Vyasa-san and say, you should. right? But when I go home to my own environment where nobody is looking, now is really the question. What is for me? What's favorable? And we can look at our life and accordingly, it's a process. It's individual for everyone. It's not one thing that everyone must do. And that also is different depending on our life situation. For a brahmachari, one thing is favorable. For a grihastha, another thing is favorable. For a sannyasi, another thing is favorable. But the overall is that everything that is engaged in Krishna's service becomes transcendental. And so, we're essentially trying to build our life in a way that we can practice Krishna consciousness for the rest of our life. And that's where that maturity and introspection is really required. A lot of the examples that we hear from, this is something that I think about a lot, are pure devotees who are on the highest platform of devotional service. So we're hearing about Suta Goswami and Shonaka Rishi and Vidura and Maitreya. And I found that sometimes, or maybe often, I find it hard to relate. How do you relate to someone like Shonaka Rishi and say, oh yeah, that makes sense to me as well in my own life? It's very difficult. So in studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, we shouldn't just read the text, but also see how it applies in our life, but also in the lives of other Vaishnavas. So there is, of course, Shonaka Rishi, but then there's also your family. All of us have Vaishnavas in our family. You can see your mother, your father, your friend, and see, oh, how is it that you are engaging everything that you do in Krishna's service? And you'll be surprised to find that it's very, very, very comforting. Sometimes devotional service, or you know, life, devotional life can feel very isolating because we feel like maybe nobody else is struggling with what I'm struggling with. Everybody else, it's so easy to be a devotee, but for me, it's so difficult. Because when I hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Prahlad Maharaj who holds his breath, and then, you know, the whole universe stops because of his tapasya. It's like, how can you relate to something like that? And then, you know, he has so much power because of his very, very strict vow. And I will acquire a kingdom greater than my father. And his determination is so powerful, Prabhupada says, he's a Kshatriya coming in the most powerful lineage. So he has this incredible Shakti and determination to stay committed to this, so much so that the whole universe is affected. And then simply by the touch of the conchal of the Lord, all of that is completely washed away. And I find that hard to relate to. Just one moment of seeing the Lord and you have no more material desires. Who can relate to that, right? I saw the Lord once and I never had another material thought again. But, for example, I talked to my mom who has gone through her whole life and she had children and she had her career and I see that she doesn't eat karmi grains, she only eats prasadam. Gradually over time, she's giving up these things. Not just for the sake of renunciation, but why? Out of taste. She says, I prefer eating prasadam. I prefer being at the temple. I prefer being at the morning program. That's what it is. It's not just renunciation, it's preference. Where does that come from? That's where it starts to become relatable. Oh, you also are working. You also are on a 9-to-5. How are you able to do it like that? Spiritual life is not a lonely path. Of course, Prabhupada says everyone has to fly their own plane. But we're all doing that together still. The devotees are already an extreme minority in terms in existence, right? There's Bhagavad Gita. Of so many people, only some are interested to understand who they really are. And of those, Right? So the Vaishnava is already a very small minority. So it's not that you have to practice alone, but together with the devotees. So that for me is what I find to be touching and something to meditate on in this particular theme of engaging oneself in all ways, in all of our activities in Krishna's service. A nice thing that we have in the jewelry store is that we're all devotees working there. And so we have picture of Krishna in the store and, you know, Nrisingadev, you know, for protection, right? It's very nice. Of course, a jewelry store means you need security. So you have, but you also have Nrisingadev. Why? So you can say, oh, this is mundane. It's just jewelry, you know. Who cares about these things? But work is part of your duty in this world, to provide for a family. And your family are all Vaishnavas, so therefore, providing and caring for those Vaishnavas is your devotional service. So we pray to Nrisingadev to protect that service. It's really nice. Always, all our activities. I think in the history of ISKCON, because many of our preachers were sannyasis, a lot of this more subtle, or you can say, maybe not subtle is not the right word, but nuanced way of engaging ourselves in activity wasn't spoken about so much. Grihastha also means devotional service. Has to be. It's not even a question of, well, is it or more, what's better, what's not better. No, it must be devotional service. So we have to find a way to engage yourself in devotional service. I have to work, so let me find a way to engage that work in the service of the Lord, to connect it to the Lord. And when doing so, then you actually feel, you don't feel like you're suffering constantly in the way that you did before, when you were working without that connection to Krishna. So it's very tangible. Without that connection, I always think of the example in Harinam Chintamani where Srila Haridas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur rather, is speaking on the power of the holy name being non-different from the Lord. He gives that famous example that it's like an iron rod being put into fire. That when the jiva chants Nam, which is like fire, then he becomes like fire, just like an iron rod. So that happens, of course, in chanting Nam. And here it's explained, it happens in hearing about the Lord. It happens in association with the Vaishnavas. And finally here also, it happens when our activities are also connected to the Lord. Can also happen. So then everything, that's how it is that everything that we do is devotional service. The without that understanding, then it seems like, oh, I should just move to a cave in the Himalayas, and that's the only way that my whole day can be Krishna conscious. But Prabhupada came here to us, to the West, knowing fully well that our whole day is filled with so much nonsense. Especially in America, we're the best at it, right? And we're very proud of it. We're number one in the world in being a nonsense. And we're coming up with newer and newer ways, right? Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg make billion-dollar empires off of what? How to become more and more distracted by material energy, by the material energy. Newer and newer ways. I don't know if any of you saw, now it's been like maybe 5 or 6 years, but Facebook came out with what's called an Oculus. It's a virtual reality goggles, and you put it on your face and you're in another world. It's all computers inside, and you have your own room, and you can decorate it how you like, and somebody else can put on their goggles and you can be in the room together, and you know, you look out the window and you can pick the scenery that you'd like to see. I mean, it's scary, actually. But these companies are worth trillions, you know, at this point, and will be in the future. exploiting that tendency to want to be distracted. So we're number one. That's the name of the game. So to become Vaishnavas in our environment, it's very, very difficult. But Prabhupada came here because he had this absolute faith in Rupa Goswami that it's possible. So I wanted to very quickly mention, today is the disappearance day of two great Vaishnav saints in our lineage, Sri Bhugarbha Goswami and Sri Kashishwar Pandit. I will just speak briefly on Bhugarbha Goswami first because there's not so much information about him. There's a lot more on Kashishwar Pandit because he's all throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Madhya and Antya Lila. So just very quickly to read. This is from Satyaraj Prabhu, who made all these nice articles about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. So it's just a very short paragraph. Just as there is very little mentioned in the scriptures about the life of Srila Lokanath Goswami, in the same way there is little written about his dear friend, Srila Bhugarbha Goswami. Srila Lokanath and Sri Bhugarbha Goswami were of one heart and mind. On the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they went to live in Vrindavan. Bhugarbha Goswami was a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit. Among his disciples were Sri Govindadev's Pujari, Chaitanya Das, as well as Mukundananda, Chakravarti, Premi Krishna Das, and others. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, "The 11th branch of Gadadhar Goswami was Bhugarbha Goswami, and the 12th was Bhagavat Das. Both of them went to Vrindavan and resided there for life." Sri Kavi Karnapur writes in his Gaura Ganadesh Deepika that Bhugarbha Goswami was formerly the gopi named Prema Manjari in Vrindavan. While in Vrindavan, Bhugarbha Goswami passed away and entered into the unmanifest pastimes of the Lord on the 14th day of the full moon in the month of Kartik, Chaturdasi, which is today. This is from Srila Narahari Chakravarti Thakur, who writes in his Bhakti Ratnakar, "Bhugarbha Goswami and Lokanath Goswami were world preachers. They were so close and affectionate to one another that they were like one body." And then there's mention, Narottam Das Thakur mentions Bhugarbha Goswami in one of his songs, in his Prarthana, where he is lamenting exhibiting this lamentation of having no desire to associate with these exalted Vaishnavas. So he mentions Sarup Damodar, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta, Raghunath Das, Gopal Bhatta, Bhugarbha Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and Lokanath Goswami. So a very exalted Vaishnava who lived his life in Vrindavan Dham. Even though we don't have so much detail, just like Narottam Das Thakur, so many songs we are able to sing. So in this way, we can also remember Sri Bhugarbha Goswami. And just by remembering, we can benefit by hearing about whatever we could hear about him. It's nice that it's also, we can remember Kashishwar Pandit because there is a little bit of contrast there that Bhugarbha Goswami was in Vrindavan and Kashishwar Pandit was in Jagannath Puri with Mahaprabhu. And then later on, so he was one of the primary associates of Lord Chaitanya, as of course many of you know. He is one of what's mentioned, 37 prominent Vaishnavas in Jagannath Puri, in Mahaprabhu's entourage. He's the 18th mentioned, and then with the 19th being Govinda, who is Mahaprabhu's servant. So Kashishwar Pandit is a godbrother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's a disciple of Sri Ishwara Puri. And Ishwara Puri, it's mentioned, upon his disappearance, instructed Kashishwar Pandit and Govinda, both, that they should go and serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's mentioned there, a small detail, that generally a god brother doesn't serve another god brother, but of course it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this was the instruction of Ishwara Puri. So it's very sweetly explained that he dedicated himself to serving the Lord. And his service, which was mentioned three times, so I should mention it too, is that he would keep the crowds away from Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri during Rath Yatra. He was very strong, reminded me of like Brahmananda Prabhu, you know, protecting Prabhupada. So he was very big and strong, he would keep the crowds away, and it's also mentioned that he would serve prasadam to the devotees after kirtan was finished. So those two things are mentioned. And then very famously, he was instructed after Rupa Goswami inaugurated the worship of Govindaji, that he was instructed by Mahaprabhu to go and assist in serving that endeavor. And he had expressed, of course, like so many others, that he didn't want to leave the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so Mahaprabhu gave him this beautiful deity of Gaur Govinda, who is Govindaji, he's gold, but he's golden. And that murti is there in Govindaji Mandir. He's standing to the right side of Govindaji. And that is directly given by Mahaprabhu to Kashishwar Pandit. So that's another way that I thought to remember him today. And I will then stop there if there are any questions or comments. Sri Kashishwar Pandit Prabhu Ki Jai. Sri Bhugarbha Goswami Ki Jai.
Thank you for a very nice class, sharing. Hare Krishna. In the early 70s, might have been something like 71 or something like that, I used to, this is before I joined the temple, I had a certain, I was attracted to macrobiotic menus. So there was one guy, a real short man, Jay Pinsky, something his name was, and he would serve out a macrobiotic dinner. You had to pay a couple of dollars or something like that. And he shared a memory where he saw, must have been very early 66 or even late 65, that he saw Srila Prabhupada before Srila Prabhupada became known at all. And he described that there was a kind of a panel discussion or something like that of spirituality, and different typical that different impersonalist so-called gurus or swamis and maybe a couple of Westerners, they would all talk impersonally. They would be very democratic. This one is God, this one, even Maya Baba, maybe he's God, this one's God, and, kind of spread the wealth, so to speak. And this gentleman, he was there at the time, and this is before Prabhupada became known as Prabhupada, even well known as a Swamiji. He was just... what was that? One of Lilamrita was one of the volumes is called Alone, Something Alone, Struggling Alone, something like that. So this is those days. And he was describing how Srila Prabhupada was so ferocious and kind of yelling and insisting, Krishna, 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 that he was completely angry, really, at this idea that, you know, that we can focus on so many personalities, even mundane ones. And there's also the incident where the poet Allen Ginsberg, he protested Srila Prabhupada was giving a very typical advice. He says, you're a good poet, so you can write poems about Krishna. So instead of saying, well, maybe I'll do that, instead, Mr. Ginsberg, he said, you've heard of Allen Ginsberg, right? Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Okay. Yeah, of course, yeah.
So he protested. He said, what? I have to only describe one image? So he was kind of preempting his own spiritual life, in a sense, for the sake of art, for the sake of poetry and writing. That, in other words, Krishna is just an image that a poet can play with, something like that. So those devotees who are artists and poets, if they're actually devotees, then they don't have a problem with dedicating and centering their talent. Maybe Pran Govinda can help me with that verse in Bhagavatam that describes that the ultimate cultural achievement of all austerities and education and all that is the glorification of the Lord. Yeah, tapasvi cha, what is that? Datayo, nirupito, uttama shloka, something. Avichitarto, vini rubito, yeah. That's the purpose of creative activity or science or education. It's all culminates in the glorification of the Lord. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. Yeah, Prabhupada engaged he had so many disciples with so many unique talents, and some were building temples, some were making paintings, some were managing temples, and he was engaging so many different kinds of people in devotional service. Thank you. Okay, so we'll stop there. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.